I'm gonna go ahead and call meeting to order at 2:00.
Oh, this one, okay.
Ready?
That one.
Nice light crowd today.
Okay.
So we are called to order at 2:00. Can I get a motion on?
The minutes. On approval of the minutes.
I'll move for approval.
Any discussion on the minutes? Can I get a second on it? Min, would you like, oh, you weren't here, you can't.
Well, I can't.
I don't think I was here, right?
Well, then you'll have to do it.
Then I'll second the minutes. All in favor? Aye, aye. Okay, so minutes are approved. Okay, we'll go on to agenda item number 3, the election advisory committee. And I assume Commissioner Hammond's recommendations. Can I get a motion to discuss that?
Move to discuss Member Hammond's.
Okay.
Memo.
Okay, so any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it's fine, except under his recommendations, under B, that the current vice chairman would be me, should be chairman for 2018. We only implemented the positions for Wallace and myself at the beginning of this year, so it should be effective January of 19.
So the only correction would be changing this from 18 to 19. How do you feel about that, Tom?
That's fine with me. I guess the only question I have is mechanically, what do we have to do this? Do we have to change bylaws, or how does it work? What has to be done?
I don't think you have to change them.
If I could have direction, if I could be permitted to.
Please.
The committee. Our recommendation would be that we get direction from the committee on which we'd like to take, and then the next meeting, we can go and draft bylaws for your approval. But the proper mechanism, I think, would be us to memorialize this memorandum in the bylaws, and we can go and propose a draft of the bylaws at the next meeting.
As amended?
Yes.
Okay, that works. Min, I don't know if you know what we're talking about. We were talking about a formal procedure for how we're gonna handle the chair and vice chair. And Tom drew something up, and everybody seems to like it.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about now is executing it as of 2019. So, okay, so can we amend then John's motion for the, as noted?
Motion would be for you to draw up.
Right.
Yes, what I would take is that the direction is from the committee for staff to go and draw up a draft of the bylaws, taking into consideration the amendment of today for the, is this to be effective for the calendar year 2019, not for 2018? We would take that direction, and at the next meeting, we'll propose a draft of the bylaws memorializing this as the direction.
Okay, so that's on that, then that is the amended motion.
Would we be able to see the draft of the amended bylaws as well as the original bylaws, just for the verbiage?
Yes, with the draft, we would produce a draft of the bylaws as it goes out in the proposed meeting agenda.
Agenda?
Packet.
Perfect.
You would be able to go and see the draft of the bylaws.
Great, thank you.
Before approving it.
Okay, very good. Can I get a second on this?
And I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, so moved.
And I'm going to abstain because I wasn't here for it, and it sounds like it's coming back, if that's okay.
It is.
Thank you.
Okay.
Don't we need to elect you?
Yes, this is Christine Young, Public Finance. If we can go back to item number 3 for the election.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought we were just kind of keeping it as it is, but that's fine. Okay, very good. Then we'll go back to number 3. Oh, okay, so we do, we need to formally elect then, all right.
I thought we did.
I thought we did, too.
I think we did.
We would actually need, if we could take each recommended action separately, so we can have a motion for each item, or just call it a vote for.
All right, well, it's simple enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Well, I make a motion that we, that Wallace Roediger serve as chairman for 2018, and then John Moore would be the vice chairman for 2019. I got that right?
Yes.
That's correct, yeah.
So that's my motion.
And I'll second.
Very good. Any further discussion? Do we need a second on that?
I think.
We need a sec, oh, she was the second, I'm sorry. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, all right, now, carried. Okay, moving on to item number four. That was it, procedures. I guess I did that out of order. So we've already addressed item number four, correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good. And number five, public finance report. Do you have a, do you want to speak to that?
Sure, I can make a brief presentation if the committee likes. We just had a very very busy January and February this year. We issued four bond issuances. One was a new money CFD deal. Two were refinancings of one CFD and one assessment district. And then fourth, we had the prepayment of the pension obligation bonds that we sold to the treasurer as we have in years before. There's pretty detailed information in the staff report. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
We got in before the change in the interest rate.
Yeah, we just barely.
I know.
All of the financings worked out very well. Right. And yeah, they were all very successful.
Okay, very good. I assume there's no action required on that.
Right? I think it's just receive and file.
Okay, very good. Okay. Okay, we'll move on to item number six. Who do we have
speaking on that? I think we need to move to receive and file. I'll move to receive and file.
Oh, that's why I asked if there was action. Okay, so we do need to take action. Okay, so I have a motion to receive and file. Can I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So moved. Okay, item number six, the public finance presentation. Who do we have presenting?
I will. Lewis McClure with the CEO's office. Just real quick, you're probably asking yourself why now, and as I explained right before the meeting to some of you, that we will be asking next month for the PFAC to approve a new program for the TEETER financing. So we thought a good refresher would be in order so that everyone could kind of remind themselves what the program is all about.
Different, modifying the current one that we are working under?
Possibly. It depends what the offerors submit. So as a way of quick background, the TEETER plan is the alternative method of apportioning secured property taxes. And the county board adopted this back in 1993. And the county advances uncollected taxes to all the participating agencies. And in return, we get to keep all of the penalties and interest related to those. The statutory lien of unpaid property taxes is superior to all commercial liens and mortgages. And on top of that, the county treasurer tax collector can foreclose after 5 years and cure any delinquencies that have lingered on past the 5 years. And so the amount of the TEETER advance varies with the delinquency rate from the year before. So access to cash is critical because we basically find out in July how much we'll need. And by mid-July, we already have to have that money in hand to make that payment to the taxing entities. And just real quickly, the penalties are the 10% late penalty and then 1.5% interest per month, which is quite an incentive for the taxpayers to pay.
Healthy.
Yeah. So typically we finance this program through a note because it's a short-term nature of the debt. And the debt is issued pursuant to a judicial validation action. And there's kind of a double-barreled pledge on this because there's the general fund TEETER pledge and then also the TEETER receivables is a stable cash flow that secures the debt as well. As I kind of alluded to earlier, the annual true-up takes place at the end of the fiscal year and in July of the next fiscal year. And that's where we pay down, using all of the revenues that we received that prior year, we pay down the existing note. And then when we find out that new amount from the auditor controller's office, that's the amount we need to issue on top. So it's the note is almost like a revolving line of credit. So we pay it down and ramp it up as we go.
There's a date certain that we have to be able to pay it by.
Yes, it's usually around July 15th.
Right.
It's yeah. Let's see here. And then for the penalties and interest rate, they flow in and they actually flow into a tax loss reserve fund, which is statutorily required. But then anything that flows in on top of that reserve fund requirement is actually becomes general fund and is discretionary revenue for the county. So
is this a percentage of the fund that it has to be funded to?
Right. It's 25% of the total delinquent taxes from the year before. So that.
You have to have that amount.
Exactly, that's the calculation. And then anything on top of that, we get to keep and use as general revenue. So the current structure is a note purchase and reimbursement agreement with Wells Fargo, as I mentioned, acts almost like a revolving line of credit. And each year, Wells Fargo purchases the notes in the amount necessary to make that payment to the entities. And currently, that authorization amount is up to $100 million. And the county pays interest on the outstanding notes monthly. And then on top of that, there's a commitment fee on the unutilized portion. So you have the $100 million, whatever we're borrowing at that time, we pay interest on. And then whatever would make up the $100 million difference, we pay a 25 basis points.
So we pay a quarter point on the unused portion.
Just to have it available to us, exactly. Because the bank kind of has to earmark that for us.
How do they calculate the unused portion?
So you have the $100 million, and then whatever you have actually outstanding that you've borrowed, say it's $50 million, well, say it's $40 million, the unused would be $60.
I know, but I mean, it goes up and down every month, doesn't it?
No, because we ramp up in July, and then we usually make a payment in December and June, and we pay the interest monthly, so there's no compounding of interest or anything. We just pay on the principal itself.
So it's a quarter of a percent per year on the unused portion.
Correct. So we'll
gross
pay,
amount.
Yeah, and we pay it quarterly, so they'll take, you know, 3 months out over the 360, and we pay it quarterly, we pay a piece.
You pay a piece of the quarter. But again, I don't understand how you calculate the unused portion.
So they'll take, so from July to September, they'll take, say we still have $40 million outstanding and $60 million unused. They'll look at that quarter and bill us for the 25 basis points, but divided by four, essentially.
So it's calculated every quarter.
Correct.
The unused portion.
Right. So if we pay down in December, then like we usually pay down at the very end of December. So there'll be the 25 basis points, higher amount, but then at the end of the month, they'll give us a credit for the reduction. I think they actually calculate by number of days in that quarter at which principal amount.
Oh, so they calculate the actual number of days.
Right.
The unused portion daily calculated times a quarter.
Yep.
Divided by a quarter.
Exactly.
Have we looked at any other financial institutions to see if we can get a better deal?
That's what we're doing literally right now. So that's what we'll be coming to the PFAC with next month.
Historically, how much have we paid in actual dollars for that quarter point?
Oh, for the quarter point? Let's see. We're halfway through this year. We paid about $55,000. Last full year, $130,000. Year before that, 176. Year before that, 232.
So we're only using a fraction of what's available then.
Right.
So do we really need to keep that much available?
That's something we'll look at. We actually, back in the like mid-2000s, we actually had a capacity of $300 million because we didn't know what the market was going to do. In fact, at one point, we had a balance of $210 million. At one point, because of right after the recession when there was a bunch of delinquency.
Great deal for Wells Fargo.
Yeah. Well,
free money.
And then actually there's a table, I think a lot of money spun back to the county too, because keep in mind we keep the penalties and interest. So
right, yes.
That large amount, it's truly a counter-cyclical program. When the amount of the delinquencies goes up, it spins off more revenue. There's about a year lag, obviously, because it has to flow through the system. But
so what you're exploring now is how much of a credit line we actually need.
Right.
And whether we could do better than the quarter point.
Exactly. Right. And the interest rate, exactly.
And the bank.
And the bank. Yep. We're looking at all that.
We should, you know, consider the Wells Fargo issue.
Right.
As we all know about.
Understood.
Okay.
I'd love to hear your opinion, Sherry.
Thank you, Chair Rodeker.
Thank you very much. On the Teeter plan, as was mentioned, the delinquency rate has gone down significantly. I think we hit our 99.4% last year. And with the new federal tax law change, we did find that a lot more people have already prepaid the second installment. Of course, that just occurred on Tuesday. And we are running still well ahead of where we are last year in terms of collections. Obviously, there is several months before the end of the year before they actually become delinquent on July 1st. So we do expect that amount is going to go down. My understanding of the program is that I believe it was more expensive, and it is something you have to have. You want to make sure that it's not something you go out for every year, So you do want to make sure you have capacity in the program, because if we have a downturn and you're not able to get funding, you then may pay a very high price. The county is forecasting certainly over the next, you know, period, five years or so, that we do expect the growth in property taxes to be more conservative than it perhaps has been the last several years. So I think when we look at the program, it's probably a five-year program we're looking at. So I do think we need to make sure when we're reviewing it, we review it for that period, not just for the 1 year when it looks great. And obviously the fact that we're having competition is going to help, certainly. We are closely monitoring Wells Fargo. They are our depository bank. There were several items that we did not, they were applicants for in terms of our processes, that we did not select them because of some of the difficulties. So we are evaluating that. The institutional side, where we sit, has not been affected. Certainly we are in constant contact with them as they go through this process, but I think it is something that we're certainly evaluating. If they were to be that item, we want to make sure that, you know, this program has not been affected by some of those, and, you know, what's the tone at the top. So I think that it's certainly something for us to consider, and we certainly can provide input when we get to that, you know, whoever the committee determines is the person you want to put forth.
May I ask how many, if we had, how many foreclosures did you actually do this year? And did you have any losses?
We had our tax sale, which was usually held in March. We ended up having only two properties, which were two vacant pieces of property, and we did cancel the tax auction. So essentially, if you looked at our five-year delinquency, we had everyone either pay off or file bankruptcy, so there was actually no tax auction. So our delinquency rate at that point is very, very low. So we don't expect it to be, you know, change. Of course, if the economy changes and people can't pay, that's the main issue. In many of these cases, it's actually tough trying to find some of the people who may have been deceased if they live out of state. So some of them are just circumstances that is more difficult, even with our collection tools, to find some of them. But we do expect to have, certainly, I think the most we've ever had in a tax sale has been 14. So that means they would have gone 5 years at the 18% of interest and that initial 10% penalty on each of those years' payments that were due. That would have certainly helped contribute to this program.
Have you ever had any losses where you couldn't sell the property for more than the tax?
We had one vacant piece of property that was out in the Silverado Canyon that we were not able to sell for the taxes. We try to work very closely with the assessor, because that's certainly not what we want. What happened is the property was probably valued more than it was actually worth. So then you start adding on interest and penalties, and it certainly increases. So we generally have had excess proceeds. I believe there was one other that also, but it was a very small amount, where the first one was certainly a much larger amount. And when that happened, we said we need to be looking at these earlier, because, you know, the taxes double every 5 years, essentially at 18% interest.
Sherry, I have a question. With the tax law change, the April payment, I would guess, had to be less than last year, based on people prepaying in December so they could write it off. Was that the case?
Yes, we received about $400 million more as of December 31st, 17, than we had in the prior year.
Yes.
So about 80,000 more taxpayers paid early. Now, we still expect the same amount of dollars to be in our hands, except for maybe a little less, because our collection rate is better when you look at the two installments together. But we did have that upfront payment. And what the county does is we have an allocation process. They're apportioned. So those dollars actually within about 10 days are actually apportioned to each of those agencies. So it wasn't money the county kept from December 31st all the way to now. We had a major apportionment in January that was just much higher than normal. And then the next apportionment was in March. So the county does not get the benefit of those. And that interest on those unapportioned does get allocated back to those individual agencies that own it. And remember, the county just gets the 6 cents on the property tax dollar, whereas a county like LA gets 24 cents. So we get a lot less of that property tax dollar.
One more question, Sherry, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
When you foreclose on a property and you have a tax sale, and if you net more money than a tax bill, do you have to give that money back to the homeowner?
Yes, what happens is when we go through the tax foreclosure process, we get title, we send notes to all the parties, because, of course, in many cases, if it's a mortgage company, they're going to probably buy that out, and then certainly they have that contract with the borrower who may be unable to pay, depending on the value of it. But if no one does come in to pay it off, essentially the law allows us to cover our costs, and then there would be excess proceeds, and again, we would have those parties of interest all claim, hopefully would be the goal, is they would all claim. We would then prioritize those who filed first, where were they prioritized in the lien. And so we have been very blessed, I think, in the last several years. We have been able to sell them, certainly not at market value, but so that person who was unable to make the payment, they've been able to recover some of their equity, because they've been able to then make that claim and then bring the money in-house for themselves.
I had a quick question. With regards to the rates, I know you're going to be shopping for better rates and better lender. Is there a minimum term requirement to secure a favorable rate for this type of line of credit?
I think practically we'll probably ask for at least a 3-year term. I don't know if there's any minimum, but yeah, they'll probably want to do business with us for a while, because they have to earmark this money to the side and make it available to us. So.
Okay.
But we'll probably ask for above any minimum that they would have.
So the basic problem with it is that Sherry's doing too good of a job.
Yep, and it doesn't spin off any money for us when that happens. Mm-hmm.
But and she's lost practically nothing on the foreclosures, as you mentioned, maybe one property, and what would that have been? Maybe $10,000 at the most on taxes.
It was a property out in Silverado, and I'm trying to think of if it was probably a little bit more than that. I think it was about $30,000, but then again, we bill out over $7.7 billion, and for all that period, it's a very low. I do have one error I did make. We do have a lot of timeshares, and the timeshares, we had our first auction last year. And unfortunately, the county, prior to me coming here, had never sold any timeshare. So we offered the first ever timeshare. And of course, if a property had been bought back in 1983 and had value and they stopped paying, there were some very large, in relation to the current value, we tried to sell the timeshares at $100. Some of them actually had $5,000-$10,000 of taxes over the years on it. So there are some losses from timeshares. We're actually evaluating what we do today, because when we do a title, of course, it's going to cost us $125. Money sunk down the, because if we can't even sell it for $100 and we're spending $125, so we're evaluating what we do, because we want to be good fiduciaries of those funds and decide, not just sell it for $100 and have to spend $125, because of course that would go back to exactly what you guys are talking about, then we would take that hit in my department, and certainly the county would take that hit if we don't collect the taxes that we have. So we do have a few in the timeshare, but in the other area, we've really done a very good job. And my question Mr. McCurr is, I'm assuming with the Fed rates going up, they may build in some type of rate plus, it used to be maybe a LIBOR rate, but now with LIBOR going away, I'm assuming we should at least find out if they're going to do a fixed rate or if they have an option for a variable, a U.S. Treasury plus so many basis points, just because rates are, going up and maybe going up later again this year. And again, depending on how the Fed looks at it, it could go up in future years.
The challenge, Sherry, with the timeshares is nobody really understands what they're buying. Mm-hmm. There's hundreds and hundreds of them, and it's extremely confusing. I think that may be part of the problem that you have selling them, is that everybody looks at them, nobody knows what to make of them. What are they actually getting? What are they getting themselves into? And
Right. Unfortunately, in our case, it seems like there's one complex that we have all of the unsolds at, so it actually is more localized to one individual. Most of the others all generally sold, and I think the 150 or 200 we have left are, again, it's just a week, so you could have thousands of weeks in this unit, depending on how many units, but it is mostly concentrated. So that's the good thing, is we were able to really move through most of those, and there were some losses on them because of that, but we were able to actually move them into property. And right now, because the county's minimum is We do not send the property tax bill if it's under $2,000 of assessed value, and the current assessed value is, I believe, $3,000 by the assessor. So if they're under that, they actually, most of these would not fall into having a tax bill at all. So that's the benefit of some of the lower ones, is they actually wouldn't even have a tax bill, but it is still understanding that you're buying this week and some of those types of things. So appreciate it.
These are all the individual people that have bought these timeshares,
yes,
not the organization right. that sold them.
Right.
Wonderful. Are there any more questions of our speaker? Okay, so is there any action required on this, or is this just informational for our next meeting?
Just informational.
Do you have a list of who you're going out to at this point?
It's the panels that are already on our RFQ. So it's the 12 firms or so. So it'll go out to those pre-qualified entities.
Is Chase on that list?
No.
You're not?
I don't believe so.
Just one point. Mr. McClure, would you, I presume, for the next meeting, you'll give us some quantitative information about the history of the teeter, what we've made, and how it all works? I know you have that handy.
Sure.
I mean, in our packet. So sure. We can say it, okay?
Great.
Wonderful. Okay.
And the only thing I would ask, if I might through the chair, is that, you know, we have had still some you know, financial institution consolidations, changes. How long ago was the list done for the RFQ? Was it fairly recent?
2016.
Okay, good. So that's fairly correct. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. McClure. Okay. This time we'll open the floor to public comments, if there are any from the public. So we have our usual mob. Okay, perfect. Wonderful. All right. And if there's any other items anybody wants to discuss? Yes, sir.
I was just going to give you an update. We did have a very successful tax drop. We are down to...
Oh.
Thank you again.
We did have a very successful tax drop. We are down to less than 13,000 taxpayers who have not paid their second installment, and we send out over 850,000 bills.
Wow.
And there's only 500 taxpayers, about 550 taxpayers that have not paid their first installment. So 500 out of the 860,000 is doing well. So that should give us an idea of what we're looking for, but I did want to give you, I want to thank my staff, did a really great job. We had lines of less than 10 minutes the whole time. So it was certainly a benefit for the county. We heard lots of things. San Diego's lines are a lot longer. LA lines are a lot longer because a lot of people have different property in different counties. So just an update.
Well, they don't have you. And your website and
exactly.
Your staff. Okay, very good. Okay, all right, with that in mind, we'll adjourn our meeting and reconvene on May 10th.
Need a motion? Move to adjourn.
Second the motion to adjourn.
Okay, and all in favor?
Aye.
So adjourned. And welcome aboard, Ben.
Thank you.